Hi there, everyone. It's Donna Fox, and you are listening to Akashic Wisdom, where we talk about the Akashic Records, we talk about your life, we talk about the world, we talk about things that we're interested in are on the hearts and minds of those of you who are listening. And gosh, we're right before a holiday, and we're right in the beginning of another holiday. So tonight is actually the second night of Hanukkah, and it's right before Christmas. And I apologize, I don't know when Kwanzaa is. Maybe somebody can call me up and tell me about Kwanzaa. And whatever other special time of the year, but it's definitely a time of rebirth. And so what we're going to do tonight is talk about how you can consider recreating yourself for the new year. Because next week, we're going to talk about our soul's intention for this lifetime, how to actually create action steps for how we want to be not only seen in the world, but experienced in the world, and how we want to experience the world in our lives. So tonight, let's talk about how we can be rebirthed. Story of Hanukkah is one of miracles. The story of Christmas is also one of miracles. And when we come to this, and tonight is solstice. That's also rebirth, the winter solstice. We are now, this night, the 21st of December, is the shortest day of the year, and we are really transitioning from being in darkness into the light. So what's happening here is that instead of going from the light to the dark, we are going from the dark to the light. So this being the shortest day of the year, we are in darkness the longest. Tomorrow will be a little lighter for us. Excuse me, folks, I'm getting over a cold. So I would love to hear from you about how you would like your life to be rebirthed, or how you have had a rebirthing experience. What has happened in your life that has shifted or changed your perception about how things are? What has happened in your life that has now turned you inward, if you will, to a more complete state of being? Or, I'd also like to hear from you, excuse me, if in fact... Hi there. Well, we had a little bit of a blank time there. That's okay. We're back now. Don't go anywhere. So I'd like to hear from you about those people who would like some help in making sense of their life. Happy to help whatever I can do to help you do that. But let me give you some numbers here. So if you'd like to call in tonight and you're in the U.S. or Canada, you can use the toll-free number of 877-876-5227. Or if you're in Canada, you can call 888-815-9756. Or if you'd like to dial direct, if you're out of the country, our country code is 01. And you can dial 530-876-3222. And so this program is only as good as your questions. And so you can also choose to email me questions. You can choose to call. But whatever you do, let's talk. Because that's what this is all about. This is all about talking and being together and having your innermost thoughts not only shared, but talked about. But last week I was saying there was this gal whose life had turned upside down. Her name was Sandy Stewart. And Sandy wanted some information about why her life was the way it was. And so what we were talking about is that when your life turns upside down, what is important for us to move into is into an introspective kind of a place. We're talking, in fact, I want to put a big hello out to some folks that were in the first class at Nana's house. I want to say hi to Mariah. I want to say hello to Michelle and Wendy and Cheryl and June and Emma and Jovi and Karen. Those are some of the folks that were special folks that were there. And it's a new healing center that I have created. And so I wanted to say hello to those folks that were at this workshop. Well, we have a caller on the line. Hello, caller.
Hi, Donna.
Is this Bob?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Donna. This is Jojo.
Oh, Jojo, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. What's new?
Well, I'm just back in town. I was gone for about a month out in Flagstaff and Sedona in Arizona.
And what were you doing out there?
Basically doing a lot of healing work and getting back in touch with my photography. So,
great.
Good place to do it. I recommend it highly.
Can you hear, turn your volume up somehow a little bit? Honey, I have a hard time hearing you.
Okay, I have it up as high as I can because your volume went down too.
Oh, okay. All right. So what did you learn when you were out in Sedona and Flagstaff?
How much time you got? I guess the main thing, like when you're talking about something that helped change my life, a lot of work with angels out there.
Oh, great. Talk about that.
Well, it's just angels have followed me around for years, you know, in terms of just hearing about it or whatever. Before you actually start having contact with them, it's like make-believe. Like,
okay.
Yeah, there's angels, that's great and stuff, but, you know, and then all of a sudden you start getting little feelings or whatever, and then they start doing things in your life, and you're like, am I in a dream, or is this the same, you know, it's just, it changes everything.
Is this real?
Yeah, and so, you know, when I was out there, for some reason I'm very drawn to Cathedral Rock.
Uh-huh.
Every time I go to Sedona, I have to go right there, like that's the first stop.
For people who are listening, Cathedral Rock is in Sedona, Arizona, and tell them why it's called Cathedral Rock.
I actually don't know. I haven't done a lot of, like, reading on it. I just
uh-huh.
go there to kind of pick up the energies. But, I mean, I guess the main thing it's called Cathedral Rock, probably, because it's just like these rock spires up
right,
in the air.
Right, because they look like a cathedral.
Yeah.
Yes, uh-huh.
Definitely. So that's the main reason. I'm sure there's other reasons for it.
Right.
And it's one of the main vortexes in Sedona.
And they actually built a cathedral near there, didn't they?
There is, I forget what it's called, but yeah, you can see it from the backside of Cathedral Rock, what
uh-huh.
I call the backside.
Right.
You know, you're looking like basically directly at it once you do the hike up the backside of Cathedral Rock.
It's been years since I've been in Sedona, but I seem to remember that.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, no, it's perfectly fine. Cause, I mean, it's one of those places where you go and everywhere you look around, you're like, what? Is this real? It's kind of like Yosemite Valley. You know, no matter how many pictures you see of these places, like you have to go to be in the energies and see the beauty because it's no picture is going to capture it. I mean, and trust me, I'm a photographer. That's what I do.
Right.
And still, no picture will capture the beauty and the experience of actually being in these places. You know, much less all the vortexes and soul retrieval and whatever else that goes on. It's just the absolute beauty of these places is absolutely amazing.
Great.
You know, so if anything, I mean, it was a rebirth for me because I've been so focused on my business and selling my photos over the years that I was back in the desert looking at plants and red rocks and vistas and going, whoa, oh, this is why I do what I do.
Uh-huh.
So it was beautiful. And the fact that I did a little bit of reading after I'd been there a while, and just open this book to talk about Cathedral Rock, and that said, oh, that's where the angels play. I was like, okay. You know, and it's supposedly a very balanced masculine and feminine energy vortex. So
when you see an angel, what do you see?
I don't see them. I feel them.
Feel them.
I feel them or I hear them. I'll get, like, different pitch ringing or buzzing in my ears.
Okay.
Especially, you know, like, especially if there's a big decision or something, if I'm paying attention. So
uh-huh.
that's another thing. Just because they're there, that any, you know, any requests, they're there. You know, we all have angels around us.
Uh-huh.
But just because they're there doesn't mean that we always pay attention. Even me, I've been working with them for years, every day.
Are you there?
It's like, you know, sometimes later I'll go, well, where were you? And I'll get that buzz in my ear, like, oh, I wasn't paying attention. You know, they were still trying to help, but I was out to lunch, so to speak. So, and then, so the buzzing in the ears, or the pitches, the different pitches of sound, and then tingles on the body, like physical tingles.
Okay.
You know, or some people feel warmth, some people feel cool, but, you know, just different sensations. So, and I know plenty of people that talk to them, see them, all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I just haven't opened those abilities yet.
So when you say you had a rebirth experience, what was it like for you?
Well, again, it's like I know the photographs I've created in the past. I know kind of the space I'm in. It's almost a meditative space, a place of joy and bliss, happiness, you name it. It's just like total peace and like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing here on this planet. And over the years, because I've been so involved in selling my work and marketing my work and building my website, it's like I kind of lost that in a way. I didn't lose it, but I've changed my focus.
Uh-huh.
So the rebirth was really being back out there in nature, realizing, like, oh, it's this simple. I'm here. I have a camera, beautiful light. I can take a picture of this cactus, this tree, this rock, this stream, you know, and be fulfilled. You know, and that was like, you know, a rebirth of a rebirth. I mean, I know years ago when I started to see with different eyes, when I really chose to pursue my photography, you know, that's when the first rebirth happened, and now it's like, you know, these are just remembrances of that.
And so, are you making like postcards or note cards from your pictures at all?
I am.
I mean, do you have them already done, or is that just something new that you're doing?
No, I haven't done. I actually made a bunch of sales while I was away on vacation. So I had to finally come back and fill those orders.
Oh, that's great. What's your website, JoJo?
Oh, my website?
Yeah.
It's shaikenphoto.com.
Say again?
Shaikenphoto.com. I'll spell that.
Yeah.
It's shaikenphoto.com.
Okay. All right. So
thank you for that.
You're welcome. So people can go there and order your stuff, right?
Yeah, I have all my prints for sale. The cards, eventually I'm going to get a nice page up for the cards because there's so many different variations that I haven't quite figured that out yet. But definitely the prints are for sale.
Yeah, the interesting thing about it, I don't know if this helps you or not, but what I'm seeing is, and I'm not exactly sure how this is working, but the idea is to transfer your photos somehow onto sheer, like, scarves.
On scarves?
Like a scarf that a woman would wear.
Okay.
Like it could be wearable art. Like, you know, there's different... I mean, I'm seeing pictures of flowers. Do you ever take pictures of flowers?
I
haven't been up to your
picture.
Website, so I don't know.
I have one picture of a flower, but...
Oh, I'm saying is that they're showing me pictures of flowers that have been transferred onto scarves.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. Maybe it's you, maybe it's somebody else who's listening. I don't know.
No.
I'm just telling you what I was seeing. It was very interesting. They're beautiful, you know. So, yeah, I mean, so. But you were talking about rebirth, you know, and how... But I want to know how you were changed. How did this month away shift your beingness, your state of being?
I guess overall, because a lot more happened than just that, and I'm going through a process with a friend who is a healer also.
Uh-huh.
I guess overall is just shedding of the past, if you want to call it the past in this life, past lives, all of it. You know, just as much shedding as possible and more focus on what, you know, what my purpose is here, what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
You know, I was a little scattered before I left.
Okay.
And when I've come back now, it's like, you know, it's a whole, I'm different. And it's hard to describe.
Uh-huh.
But what's funny is that on the way out to Arizona, I did a commercial shoot in L.A., and I was at Disneyland, and I was at Universal City Walk, and I was at Staples Center, you know, because I do specialize in color night photography. So I was doing this specialized work down there, you know, so I go from the heart of L.A., the heart of, like, you know, this fabricated culture, like, right to Sedona. And it was a real shock, but what I found is that even when I was in L.A., you know, because part of me was, like, freaking out. I was like, what am I doing? It's like, okay, I'm making money, but why am I doing this? And what I found is that when I was locked in traffic or if I'm surrounded by thousands of people outside a stadium going in for a game, instead of, like, freaking out, because I'm used to living in a small town, you know, where I spend most of my time at the beach in the first place, instead of freaking out around all these people, that was a different experience for me. I just sent a lot of blessings out. And I was at peace pretty much the whole time I was there.
Huh.
You know, I didn't have that same effect of, like, you know, going into L.A., I'm around 10 million people, this is nuts. You know, all these little thoughts that could stream through and lead down, you know, basically a downward spiral. You know, it's not going to do me any good, it's not doing anyone else any good. But as soon as I got locked up in traffic, just, like, be thankful for it.
Uh-huh.
You know, send blessings out, and that was a saving grace. And honestly, it is the city of angels. So.
Well, you know, I'll tell you something. For anybody who wants to go up to JoJo's site, I'm up there now. But I want to tell you what I was seeing is like your first photo where you're showing your color night photographs.
Yeah.
Like the photo like that's called Angel. That's absolutely magnificent. I mean, if you found the right person to create the scarf, that would make a magnificent scarf.
Okay.
You know, and the same way with clarity. Yeah, and there was like the vision is or creation. Those would be gorgeous, like on a scarf, like a silk scarf. I know that maybe I'm seeing something wrong, but I'm telling you what they're showing me is or Sky Genesis. See, it's the colors that you have are absolutely magnificent.
Well, thank you.
Oh yeah, it's great, absolutely. So, you know, it's great sight. And so the idea here is that it's really about moving into a place where you can expand your idea of what you think is possible with your work. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. This is beautiful stuff.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, well, great. So how can I help you tonight? How can the Akashic Records help you?
Man, it threw me for a loop for a second there, because I had a question picked up before, and now it's changed. I must have explained it.
Okay.
I had it. I should have written it down. I had it very specific. What was I going to ask? Well, I guess I'll just ask a simple one. So, because this will go along with what you just said.
Uh-huh.
In terms of financial abundance, where should I point my focus?
Where should you point your focus to be able to bring more financial prosperity in?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, the first thing, and again, this is a marketing comment. There's some underlying aspects that hold you back financially from an old belief system, but one of the things that they're showing me is that it's about creating motivational sayings underneath your paintings. I mean, there's another company that does it, but I don't remember the name of it.
Yeah, they call it accessories.
Yes, but yours, you could do the same thing with different sayings.
Okay, now with that, let me be very careful with that, because I've been reading a lot of the Essene Gospels. which are, you know, in theory, some of the original teachings of Jesus. They're very powerful.
Yes.
And which seem to match up with my work, because it's, you know, it's talking about the angels of the air, angel of earth, angel of water, all these very basic, seemingly basic things, but those are the building blocks of life.
Uh-huh.
And that's where I created a lot of my work, you know, and I was looking at maybe matching that kind of stuff up. Do they, you know, do they recommend staying away from that, or is that okay to look at that kind of stuff rather than making up my own stuff? Because I'm not a writer, I'm a photographer.
Well, but it might be, you may want to collaborate with someone. And what I'm hearing is that you could use those scriptures, if you would, but it also would entail you contacting those people from a copyright point of view.
Okay.
And so what you need to do is kind of go within, because you can't use their sayings without crediting them.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know about copyright.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And so the idea here is that there's the photographs that you have that could be mounted and created with inspirational sayings. You could actually work with someone else, you know, for a percentage, with, rather than a copyright, so that it's almost like it's a different venture.
Okay.
And that again, it's just a marketing idea that just came. But
okay.
These pictures are so beautiful that if in fact they were more accessible to people, for example, if I'm going to make the assumption that when you sell a photograph, it's on regular photographic paper. Is that correct?
Yeah.
But there's ways of making these prints more accessible to people in a way that they could be more, I want to say, mass produced. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And so the idea of these pieces, I mean, they could be messages from the divine, you know, on these on these beautiful things. I mean, you could certainly talk to the people that from the scriptures of the Essenes if you feel more if you feel those are in alignment with your work. It's just a matter of making sure you can use their verses or their one-line pieces.
Gotcha.
You know, but, and they may even be able to help you market them. So it's, I mean, there's always a trade-off. You could do either one. You could work with someone independently, or you could work with those pieces of scripture that you felt drawn to that would describe your work.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. See, the thing is that the idea of financial prosperity has everything to do with what you personally want to achieve, and you do a lot of meditation, and so it's really important for you during meditation for you to move into a space of being willing to receive guidance to what your action steps are to create the financial abundance that you want. And so when you move into your meditation, you move into meditation with the intention of connecting and receiving information from your personal guidance as to what steps you take next. The reason they're saying this is because when it comes from within you, it aligns in a way that feels right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
See, it's going to be real important for this new year coming up for you, JoJo, that you start putting your focus on moving into receiving the communication from your own guidance rather than looking outside of yourself, moving within yourself. So what questions do you have around that?
About getting the internal guidance?
Yes. Do you feel blocked with that?
Do I have a block with that?
Do you feel blocked?
In ways, yes. It's almost like looking for the open sesame, the right key, right combination of words, whatever it may be. Yeah, almost like I guess I do my best to stay grounded in this world. Because I can go out to lunch really easily.
Right.
I can go and dream. But then when it finally comes back to like, okay, bills are needing to be paid, what I need to do. It's like, you know, things will come into my life and my bills will always get paid.
Right.
But I guess I'm at the point where it's like, you know, if I had a big abundant supply, then okay. But then all the other spiritual stuff I've been reading says don't focus on the money, focus on God. So, you know, I guess in a way, things are competing for my attention.
Well, you're feeling conflicted because you're uncomfortable focusing on money, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So unless you, and this is important for everybody listening to realize this, unless you make money your friend, how can money come into your life?
Yeah.
The idea here is it's really about you establishing a relationship with money and asking money what it needs from you. You see, you no longer walk with St. Francis. That lifetime is over, Jojo. You don't have to be poor to be spiritual.
Okay.
There's a lot of people out there that believe that being spiritual means that you have to be poor. Do you suspect you have that underlying belief?
On some level. You know, on some level.
Uh-huh.
You know, because, you know, at times I'll get an abundance of money.
Right.
And then I'll look and someday I'll be like, wow, looks like, you know, I'm in that place and looks like I need to get another abundant amount of money. So here I am doing the work again.
But the reason, and so for all of those, for yourself and all of those people out there that are listening that equate spirituality and being, and not focusing on money and being poor, I would like you to just consider the fact that folks like Deepak Chopra, Marianne Williamson, Doreen Virtue,
Wayne Dyer,
Debbie Ford. There are people out there that are A-lister folks that are Carolyn Mace, that are clearly very well known and are clearly millionaires because of spirituality. Neil Donald Walsh is a perfect example. A man who came from nothing, a man who had lost everything and was homeless, moved into his own surrender and allowed spirit to bring him what he needed and so much more. So the idea here is that there are examples all around us of how the universe wants to bring us all that we need and all that we want. And it is we individuals, we as humans, that limit that flow based on beliefs around that are set up around our shoulds. Well, I should be doing this and I should be doing that and I shouldn't do that. And I shouldn't want this, and I shouldn't want that, and I do want that, but I probably shouldn't want that, And is it okay for me to want that? And so the idea here is for us to really ferret out all the should beliefs that we are carrying that limit us from a prosperity point of view. We really need to take a look at those beliefs and move out from them because they no longer serve us. And so the suggestions for you would be to take a look at the books that tell you not to focus on money and look at the authors that wrote them.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
So what question do you have around that?
Well, when you said make money my friend,
yep.
Do you have any, I know, you know, ferreting out the shoulds and whatever. Are there any other steps you have in terms of, like, you know, how to make money my friend?
Sure. First of all, in making money your friend, what you definitely want to do is you really want to have a conversation with money. And so what happens is you actually have a conversation and imagine money. If money were going to be your friend, what would money look like? What would money feel like? And then you have to get into a conversation with money. You have to have a conversation that asks money, what do you need from me? What do you need from me in order to welcome you into my life? And just write down whatever you get. See, part of this has to do is that we have a situation where with dollars and the energy of money, we feel that we have to, there's not a synergy there. There's not an acceptance. It's almost like I can't put too much attention to you or with the money part of this has to do with you being able to align yourself with the essence of money and ask, again, they're going back to asking money what it needs from you and creating a relationship with money. So it's about imagining what would money look like if it were an animal? What would money look like if it were a villain? What would money look like if it were a lover? And how, so it's about establishing relationships with money because money is just an energy. Does that make sense?
Kind of. I mean, to me, it's pretty abstract. I mean, I understand what you're saying. I guess, you know, one show, like, a long time ago, I'd mentioned, I heard money was crystallized power. That was the energy of it.
Uh-huh.
And then you kind of checked me on that. So what, so if money is its own energy, like, what is it? I mean, do you have an understanding of it, or is it different for every person?
Well, the idea here is that what money can be, what happens with money is it has to do with how you honor it. What do you do in your life to honor money? And a lot of times, you know, I'm not talking about making money your God, quote unquote. I'm talking about making money your friend. So the same way you talk to your angels, you can talk to money because it's an energy form. It just has a name. But the name money also is synonymous with prosperity. And so if you were to actually personalize the aspect of money or prosperity and make it into a an energetic entity that you could communicate with, you will find out what you personally need, and it is different with everyone, all right, what you personally need to do to be able to welcome it in your life. So, for example, there may be some people out there that as soon as they get money, they spend it right away because they're afraid to keep it. There may be other people out there that are afraid to receive money for fear somebody's going to take it. And so it's really about talking to that energy that is money, that can help you understand what you need to do to honor it. See, money is always outside of us. And the reality is, the wanting of it is within us. But as long as we keep it outside of us as something that we don't have and have to get, we're coming from a place of lack rather than a place of welcoming. And if we hold the belief system that having money is inappropriate to being spiritual, we can't welcome money into our lives. There's no space for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
So it's really about actually getting into a sacred space, a quiet space, and having those kinds of that kind of information. And really documenting it. Now, I want you just to notice, and then we got to kind of get off and give somebody else a chance because there's only one line here.
Yeah.
But notice how the concept of doing that, notice where it's uncomfortable in your body. Where do you feel the most uncomfortable in creating a relationship with money? Where does it show up?
Right now, I don't know. I'm not that in touch. I mean, my brain's going, but trying to think. Probably my breathing.
Right. It was like if you were to do a body scan right now, where do you feel the most tension in your body?
Oh, it's in my chest.
Right. What about in your throat?
Yeah.
It's really, is it like in your upper chest and throat?
Yeah, just constriction.
Uh huh. So take a look at how the relationship is to money and your truth. So how, and that's another question you can ask during meditation. What is my relationship to money and my truth? Or what is my relationship to my truth and receiving prosperity? Because it's all of these things, you know, we walk around really wanting all this wonderful prosperity and the dollars, etc. But we have these underlying beliefs and concepts that are playing underneath us that no matter what we do, we can't get what we want, because as soon as we get close, something comes up and takes the rug out. And it's the underlying beliefs that we have to get at, so we can clear them, so we can be totally and 100% ready and willing to surrender to receive. And not receive just enough, but receive the abundance and prosperity of the universe. Because as soon as we think about there's not enough, and there's other people, JoJo, that say, well, I don't want a lot of money because I don't want to take something from somebody else. That's a lack mentality. The mentality that can support we as humans says, I can be abundant and you can be abundant. I can be prosperous and you can be prosperous, because this is an abundant and prosperous universe. And there are people out there that are not feeling the pinch of these economic times right now. That does exist. But again, we are all sitting in a place of fear for when's the next dollar, and until we break out of that, the way we break out of it is to establish a relationship with money and prosperity. When we establish those relationships, all of a sudden we can begin to shift out of the fear and out of the lack. I mean, they may be hard concepts to come across, but it's really about what have you got to lose? By just sitting down and asking a question, okay, money, what do you need for me to come into my life? And write down whatever you hear. What do you have to lose?
Yeah. Well, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's something I haven't done everything but, I think.
Right. Yeah.
Looked at it from every angle to avoid it.
Right.
Instead of looking right at it.
Uh-huh.
So very, very helpful information.
Good. I hope it was.
Yeah.
I hope you have a great holiday.
Yeah. I hope you have a great holiday, too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Donna.
Take care.
You, too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. So folks, you have to take a look at JoJo's site because there are some amazing photographs on there. They are breathtaking, absolutely breathtaking. And remember, this is not a paid commercial. You know, this is just a conversation that JoJo and I had. But his website is Shaken Photo, and it's Shaiken Photo, PHOTO.com. I mean, the photos are absolutely amazing. There's quite a few that I would love to have myself. So talk to me here. Very interesting. You know, we've got this wonderful energy coming through. This holiday coming up of Christmas is a very interesting one because we claim or the how can we say this? The scriptures claim that the Christ or Jesus was born at this time. Yet, for those people who understand about how the Bible was really written, know in fact that this particular holiday of quote-unquote Christmas was actually a compilation of not only the pagan religions. It's a manufactured holiday. This is not going to go over real well with some of you, but all I ask is that for those people who consider Jesus as an important part of your life, I want you to go back into the scriptures and look at what his age is when he dies on the cross. He's 32 and a half years old in spring. The months don't compute to him being born in winter. So, it computes possibly for him being born in fall, but not in spring, and not in winter. Just take a look at that. And check it out, because the reality here is it is not, we talk about the Christ consciousness, and the Christ consciousness is very significant because this time of year is when solstice is, and the solstice is the energetic bringing of the light. And for many people, the bringing of the light is Jesus Christ. But that's just the Christian part of the puzzle. It's just one piece. Because there are so many other beings of light that have come forward on the planet to light our way. And it's important that we become reverent around our own light and see how we align with the purity, the innocent, the immaculate heart, if you will, of the light of the divine. Because we all carry that pure innocence. We all carry the light of the divine. And it's when we deny the light of who we truly are that creates the that actually it doesn't it expands or makes bigger the struggle that we experience. So the questions that can be asked at this time in your meditation is, what is my relationship to my light, to my divine light? What is my relationship to my divine light? How can I open myself to the purity and innocence of who I am? It's these types of questions, and if you work with your own records, you can open your records and work with any of these questions that we have talked about tonight. Clearly, if you want a very interesting experience, you can open your own personal Akashic records and ask the questions about what is my relationship to money, or how can I bring money, how can I best bring money into my life, or what do you need from me, or with your records open. And it will come from a soul's perspective. So when I say about opening your own Akashic records, there's a specific sacred prayer that actually shifts the energy to make the information accessible to the Akashic records. And that's, for those people who are listening, that's what I teach. And so it's possible that you yourself can learn how to access your own personal Akashic records. In fact, if that's of interest to you, please do give me a call. I'd love to talk to you about that. And I can explain more about how to do that. In fact, if you'd like to call me offline, you can call me at 216-691-1233. That's my office number. Again, 216-691-1233. And if you'd like to email me, and you can email me at any time, you can email me questions for the show, you can email me questions about my work, and I will be happy to respond. Sometimes there's a lot of emails and I do get overwhelmed, but I will get back to you. But always put your telephone number in that email, because if I don't have a chance to email you back, I'll be happy to call you back. And so my email address is info@akashicwisdom.com. That's akashicwisdom.com. So I want to just move to another subject here. The subject is giving. You know, I think we touched on this, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about gifts and giving. And it's interesting. I'm curious, you know, this is a gift-giving time of year. And I remember, now, for those of you who are too young to remember, when there weren't really charge accounts, I'm not that old, but when I was young, around 19, 20 years old, I was working for a bank. And the bank was coming out with MasterCard. And they issued these credit cards to their bank employees. And this was a new thing, there were always like department charge accounts, okay, that you could use at department stores, and those were fun to have, you know. But this new MasterCard had a whole new idea, and I remember one holiday season where I just went having such a good time. It's like somebody just handed me a bunch of bags of money, and I just went out and started charging my little heart out for gifts for everyone, and it was so joyful. You know, I was having such a good time, you know, charging these gifts and feeling very, very wonderful about all the gifts I was getting people, and I was feeling really good about how happy I was going to make them, and how and what I was also realizing is how happy I was making myself. Of course, come January, I was a little overwhelmed with what my happiness cost me. But the idea here is that we are now in an economic place. We're actually going out and, quote-unquote, buying gifts, in many cases, are a hardship. We're coming back to, before, I was not around during the first Depression, but when people lived in a simpler time and they were making gifts for their family or for each other, or they were doing things as a family instead of gifts. Now, a lot of people are starting to give one of the most precious things that there is, that they can at all give, and that's the gift of their time. And so for those of you who have families and you have a situation where dollars are tight, I encourage you to take your children, grown or smaller, you know, anybody over the age of 8 or 9 can definitely go and do this. I encourage you that on Christmas Day, you go, and you set this up now, of course, or any time this week, you go and you volunteer at a homeless shelter. And you talk to your children, and you talk to your family about the time you're giving to volunteer at a homeless shelter, or if you can, depending on if another woman can also, women can get together and volunteer at a battered woman shelter or an animal shelter. The idea here is to give the gift of time and then receive the gift of sharing time with your family. And what happens is, by giving the gift of time and by experiencing the environment that other people have to live in, it puts you in a place of a deeper love of not only what you have, but an appreciation of how you can help humanity. And the gratefulness that comes from helping humanity is something that can never be replaced. Because you are a very important person to this world. You, exactly the way you are. You're precious, you're magnificent, and you're deeply loved. So it's come time for me to close. I want to wish everyone a happy Hanukkah and a Merry Christmas. I hope the light in your heart expands, that the peace in your heart expands, the joy in your heart expands. Them. And for those people who have families, give them an extra hug and tell them you love them. And for those people who are going to be alone this year, give me a call. Give me a call on Christmas. My lines will be open. I'll have my line open. And if you feel like talking on Christmas, you call me privately. 216-691-1233. So I want to wish you all a Merry, Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and a Happy Hanukkah. And so I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their wonderful healing light. And with that, we close the records of the Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show by saying, Amen, Amen, Amen. The records are now closed. Amen. Have a wonderful, miraculous week, and get your plans for next week. Let's talk about how to create a brand new year. Blessings to you all. Good night.